And we're very happy to welcome now for our network analyst spot, Solomon Wilcots, who will handle the analysis of Sunday's game for CBS. He'll be on the call with Kevin Harlan. And Solomon, this will be your second appearance at a Browns game. You had the opener against Cincinnati, and now you do the finale. You've kind of come full circle with this team.
Yeah, we get to see how much this team has grown, or maybe the lack thereof. As I've been studying and preparing for this game, I think you probably see a team that's traded sideways throughout the course of the season. And I think that's why you see the record being what it is, the failure to improve in those areas that plague you in week one, and to still have them plaguing you going into week 17, it's got to be rather disappointing.
Yeah, Solomon, that's been the story of the season. I think that first game you saw against the Bengals, somewhat of a microcosm, very familiar with what we've seen since. And in the last time this team played the Steelers, it was a game that was close and frustrating for the Browns, because obviously they end up losing it and they don't end up scoring enough to help out, to complement a strong defensive effort. And Sheldon Brown, who was on this show last night, the veteran corner for the Browns, made the comment that overall, and he wasn't saying this was just an offensive thing, he said it was a team thing and it was a defensive thing as well, very accountable in that regard, saying we just kind of play well enough to lose.
Yeah, and he's right. Not scoring nearly enough points on offense, and obviously you can't average 11, 12 points a game and think that you're going to be in contention to do anything and to win enough. And while the defense ranks very high, along with the other defenses within the division, not scoring enough points is the main focus. I think it's the number one problem of this football team. You, in this league, would it be in a passing league, you've got to be able to score points. But then, like what last week, when you have the opportunity to score points, you've got to be able to make sure you get the ball into the end zone. And if you got to throw the ball to be able to stop the clock, if you got to call a timeout, if you got whatever it is, you got to manage the game appropriately at the end of the first half and the end of regulation to give yourself opportunity to put points on the board.
What are some of the pieces that you think are needed, Solomon? Because that's what a final game like this is going to be, the focus, the final games. When you're out of the playoff running, it's everything about the future and what you have in place that you can develop and what you still need. What is your general take on how this Browns team can get better going forward?
Well, I think it's got to be the offensive weapons. And you look at the real good teams, there are multiple weapons. There are weapons on offense that make the quarterback position easier, that you don't need to be prolific. And it's impossible to be prolific if you don't have that running back on third down who can be the check down guy, like a Darren Sproles. And if you don't have a tight end who can dominate over the middle of the field, and I think these tight ends, Ben Watson and Evan Moore, are good enough to do that, but they can't be effective if you don't have someone who can lift the coverage off the defense. And so you need someone to stretch the field. You need that other receiver to be a chain mover, a possession guy, an over-the-middle guy. You need multiple weapons, and this offense lacks them. And then if Peyton Hillis defects via free agency, one can argue you're going to need a runner. And he hadn't been healthy this year, so you really needed one this year. So those are the areas that stand out the most. I like what I'm seeing on defense. I saw growth and improvement over there. But offensively, you've got to have dynamic weapons, multiple weapons, to help your quarterback.
When you look at four wins, and when people who have been understandably frustrated and critical see four wins and see one fewer win than last year so far, it's hard for them, I guess, to see what the positives might be from this year. But one obvious one that I take away is when this team has played divisional rivals the second time around, they've played better. They played a much better game against Cincinnati at Cincinnati. They played a far better game against the Ravens last Saturday at Baltimore. And I guess if you're talking about, in the case of the Ravens, competing with the big boys of the league at a level that lets you feel that there's maybe less of a gap there, is that truly a sign of encouragement that if the points that you made about what is needed to make this team better, that you're actually building on a foundation that can go somewhere?
Oh, I think you have to feel better. I think if you look at within this division, the AFC North, you're probably going to have three teams if the Bengals win against Baltimore, three teams from this division going to the playoffs. So it tells you what kind of competition you're playing against. But all four teams in the division, including the Cleveland Browns, have a top 10 defense, and they rank in the top 10, all four of them, in terms of points allowed. Those are numbers that you can really feel good about if you're the Cleveland Browns. In fact, it's the thing that's allowed you to go toe-to-toe with the other teams in your division in some very close games. So you feel really good about some of the progress you're seeing. And that's why you can, I believe, put your focus on the other side of the ball. The offensive line, as you well know, when I saw in week one, it was in tatters. And... gotten somewhat better, but not a whole lot better. I think that's an area you got to address. But those weapons at those skilled positions on offense, to me, those are primary along with the offensive line.
Solomon Wilcott's with us from CBS Sports. He will be on the call of Sunday's game with Kevin Harlan here at Cleveland Browns Stadium. And also, of course, Solomon, a former standout NFL player. So you come at this from a lot of perspectives. And how much solace can you take as a team, and maybe it's not even solace, it's the idea that it's two ways here, that you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've been playing with a one-legged quarterback pretty much, and then you had your backup in one game, and you've been weathering that reasonably well. Obviously, the second half of that Cleveland game when Ben Roethlisberger suffers the high ankle sprain, it didn't look so good, obviously, against San Francisco a week later, but then Charlie Batch and your running game carry you through. And then on the flip side of that, the solace being that the Browns, for as tough as their season has been, pushed the Steeler team to the limits at Heinz Field. So does Pittsburgh come into this game and looking with Ben Roethlisberger practicing, it looks like they're just pushing to get him out there. I don't know how much, but you know that they're taking this very seriously and taking the challenge from the Browns very seriously.
Well, I think they are definitely taking it very seriously. It was just a few weeks ago they were at home, and the Cleveland Browns, that defense beat up on Ben Roethlisberger. You softened them up for the 49ers, so to speak. And the ability to do that really comes from just how good this defense is. Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, know that going into Cleveland is going to be a tough proposition. And trying to come out of there with a win is going to be tough. You're going to have to get bloody to do it. That's what divisional games are about, when teams know one another very well and very familiar. And Dick Turan's group on the defensive side are a very proud group, and I've just seen them get better. I love their defensive lineman, the rookie Jabril Sheard. He leads them in sacks, and so when you have a rookie who is stepping up and taking his game to another level, and Phil Taylor and those guys, it makes everyone better around them, and you know those guys only get better in their second year, so you take a lot of solace in that. But as you well know, some of these good performances that allow you to be nip and tuck with some of the best competition, you got to start winning those games. And to win one here in the final season against Pittsburgh, I got to believe it will do wonders for the confidence of a young football team in the offseason.
One of the lasting images from that previous Browns-Steelers game was that, of course, of James Harrison with the helmet-to-face mask hit on Colt McCoy, causing the concussion that is now going to cause McCoy to miss his third consecutive game. Earlier this week, Pat Shurmur was asked by the media in different ways about retaliation or any thoughts about that this team might have, the Browns might have in this game. And again, Solomon, speaking both as an analyst but also as a former player, how much does that possibly come into play? How much of a storyline is that for you as you approach this game with CBS?
Well, it's certainly a storyline, simply because every time it seems like the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns play one another, James Harrison is knocking someone out of the game, whether it's Mohamed Massaqua, whether it's his good friend Joshua Cribbs, or in this case, Colt McCoy. And so this is what's happened each of the last 2 years. And so now they're going to meet for a fourth time in 2 years. And so it's a story now. There's no doubt. You remember that game last year, that those two hits he laid on a couple of players is what really brought about the reinstitution of new rules and a new way of looking at player safety. So James Harrison's almost the poster child for these new rules.
Right.
And it started with his play against Cleveland. And obviously the Browns come under scrutiny because of whether or not a concussion test is being given. Those stories are alive and well because it was recent. Wasn't that long ago. And he's only been back for one game. And so, yeah, there's definitely it's going to be part of our storyline. Won't be the major storyline because there's playoff ramifications. There's a division title on the line, obviously, in the AFC North. There's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching. We got whether or not Ben Roethlisberger is going to play and if Charlie Batch is playing. Can he fulfill the deal? So there are a number of storylines, but that's certainly one of them.
But you, as a player, know about the whole cost of doing something that is beyond the rules when it comes to, again, trying to retaliate or, say, intentionally hurt another player. And you would think, too, this officiating crew is going to be very attentive to that Sunday.
I would expect. There's no doubt. They're going to be on top of it. I think they're already on top of James Harrison. They're watching, and they're going to make sure they're protecting the quarterback. But this one's a little different because now Seneca Wallace is one that's a little bit more mobile as well. And so it'll be interesting to see how Harrison handles playing against a more mobile quarterback who is apt to get out of the pocket and run and turn it up the field and keep it. I thought it was a fair call on Harrison. I thought he took two more steps well after McCoy had released the ball. There was two more steps taken by the defender, in this case Harrison, who then kind of led with his head. So I think it was justified to be called. I don't think they were singling him out by any stretch of the imagination.
And just your general take, because you do pay close attention to that AFC North, it being your former division as a player with the Bengals. How do you look at it, Solomon, in terms of how this can play out, knowing what you know of the Steelers, of the Ravens?
Well, I think the way it could actually turn out is, obviously you need the Bengals to kind of help out. I just think the Ravens are a proud bunch. I think they are a veteran bunch going up against a young Bengals team. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Ravens will end up winning it. You're going to see Pittsburgh Steelers as a number five seed. But no matter how it shapes out tomorrow, or excuse me, on Sunday, I believe these two teams will meet for a third time. And when they meet for a third time, I just think it is so difficult to beat any team in this league three times in one year, let alone the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
So the Ravens have got their work cut out for them. Even a division title doesn't assure them of anything except a first-round bye, but the team they could be staring at will be the Pittsburgh Steelers again. And something tells me that would be the last thing they would want.
Solomon, great stuff as always. I look forward to seeing you Sunday, and thank you, and a happy new year in advance.
All right, Vic, thanks for having me.
All right, Solomon Wilcots from CBS Sports. He will be on the call for Sunday's game with Kevin Harlan, and we will continue on with Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.